gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
Hey, 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 toy fans, welcome to Our Toy Addictions, your source for what is then, what's now, and what's about to be in the world of toys. From Matco to Valiverse, we talk about it all. There's something for everyone in our coffers of toy joy, so without further ado, let's talk little plastic people and things. I'm Matt, the producer of this trip down the toys rabbit hole. To my right, that wacky lover of all things, Bobby Vella, Aaron of 6-inch. And across the table, your favorite scalper, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing today? How are we doing this week?
I wore my pants today so I can stay warm in your fucking frigid basement.
Listen, I need the airflow in or it's going to start to smell like mildew. Not mold, but it gets that weird
basement. Is that
smell.
Why I always leave here? My ass is dry?
Yes.
It might be my chair. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. That's why I got the leather chair back here to try to keep some of the moisture in.
Nice.
Mine soaks up all the gas.
Yeah, you're yeah, yours just soaks everything up. Yours just passes right through. Mine just collects and holds.
Moving on.
Nice, nice. Taking some notes.
So what's up?
So it's funny that you say scalper, Ron, because that's part of my news. Some of my news going forward.
Coming up. Yeah, I balked on the host line because it was completely covered up and I forgot to scroll up.
That's all right. Hey, no.
I got to get this memorized. Yet,
I was
so.
Say, if you haven't committed to memory after six turns, all good.
Hey, man, I got other stuff to work on too, right?
Eventually, you hear a Led Zeppelin song 10 times, you start to figure out the lyrics.
You do? Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Same thing with being a drummer.
Yeah. All right, toy news.
Yeah, toy news. Stuff.
What are we talking about?
Well, a fun one for me, because, you know, thanks for spending my money.
Your Shogun Skeletor?
Well, no. That's old news. That's
cool.
Yeah.
It is cool.
Well, I was going to put it up here, and it would just block your whole view.
Probably be for the better.
But the Motu line, I'm sure we've said it before. We did a little trade, and you got me hooked on Motu Origins. So now I'm just buying everything Motu.
I'm like a crack addict.
Yes. So I got the stupid Mega Blocks, and I got the Origin line, and I've been following Motu for the last couple months now since, trying to catch up on the line. Well, the line's caught up purchased-wise. I just pre-ordered the line 7 this morning as we were talking. I went back on and BBTS. And
wait, 7? Which one's 7?
Is it 7 or 8?
10.
10. Is it 10?
He done one with King Randor and Whiplash?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Series 10.
That's 10. Holy
or Wave
smokes.
10.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So I pre-ordered that this morning, and, you know, I'm caught up, except that Rotan.
See, I think I had up to wave 7.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Because I did get a couple lines since,
or
a couple waves. So, some big news. So Mattel is finally getting on board, and I've been watching some YouTubes and reading some articles, and I think they figured out that the debacle with Keldor and Wundar is going to be fixed, hopefully. Now, yes, I purchased 2 Wundars, one to sell, knowing that it was going to be a $60 to $80 secondary market. And I got one for the collection, and I wasn't going to open it, but now I might open it because they're re-releasing him as a made-to-order.
Yeah.
They're not calling it pre-order. They're calling it made-to-order, which is kind of odd. I think that's their, like, little shtick.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, everybody has pre-orders. They don't want you to think it's like a machine. I don't know. Like
right.
This is an assembly line.
Like the little wax machines at the museums.
Right, right, right.
Just put your quarter in.
Give us your dollar and
it squirts out a little little wax plastic dolphin or something.
The idea was to get them to last until the next time you went back.
The gorilla from the zoo.
I used to put mine on top of my lamp and tell them.
So they're doing this made-to-order Grizzlore. And they're going to reproduce Wundar.
Yep.
So I just like to say, thank goodness I traded my Wundar for more value than it will be. Because if you want one and 3 million people order it, then they'll make 3 million.
Yep.
But that's all they're going to make.
Right.
So there might be value in the future, but I don't think there's going to be value anytime soon.
No, there'll still be a little value in the future. It's like the whole thing with the his tank. I just didn't have the money to get it, and I totally fucking wanted it. Now, in the future, I may have $500-$600 to throw
in. Correct, correct.
So there's still going to be demand in the future, but it's not going to be like you snatch up the entire market just to put it on the secondary, you know, after the fact.
Well, you got to think this, too. There may be demand because of the packaging.
If they change the packaging.
If they change the packaging, like they do with Valiverse.
If they do change the packaging, then there may be collector value and just, you know, sealed in the packaging.
But now, just from history, Mattel never did that. I mean, they ran figures off a couple different times.
I mean, they're using
back
the same
in the 80s. They've never really done separate packaging for that. I'd be surprised if they went and did a whole new, you know, run of prints and.
But, I mean, they may have found a way to create the packaging cheaper, though.
Yeah.
If they do that, then yes, it's going to change.
Oh, yeah, this is a second edition one because the bubble's coming off the card.
Well, I mean, but there might be other things, too. I mean, the bubble may be smaller. It may not be as deep. Yeah. I mean, the collectors look at that shit.
Yeah.
There'll probably be a serial number
on the back.
It's the same packaging from the 80s, is it not? It's the same card.
Pretty close.
I mean, very slight differences, but it's the same art. It's the same.
I bet
there's a little sticker that says 40th, and some of them say, you know. So they differentiate a little bit, but, yeah, they could have, like, I mean, second edition on the back, or they could have something that, you know, it could be.
There may be some. I mean, not only that, but they may have also found a factory to produce it cheaper. So the paint applications may be a different color.
That's true.
There may be mold lines where there wasn't mold lines before. I mean, it's just, it depends. It just depends. I mean, it may be the same, like, molds and stuff that they use, but they may be using a different plastic formula. I mean,
And you said different packaging, like, so, like, Valiverse is reissuing some of the troops in what they call the special deployment series. Figures are the same. The accessories are going to be the same. As far as I know, the paint apps are going to be the same, but they're putting them in different boxes. So I think along those lines, like, different packaging.
I mean.
But I don't think Mattel's never really done that in the past. I have a hard time thinking they'd do it now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would think that you wouldn't have seen that with, you know, the way Hasbro was talking about, you know, we're gonna do our packaging without windows and no plastic and this, that, and the other thing. But there are legacy figures out there in the box that still have the plastic film.
And some of them don't even have the plastic film now. They just have the opening.
I know, but I mean, but the ones some of the ones that still have
the
plastic film on it. I mean, there are people out there that think it has some sort of collector value, so that they seek them out.
They seek those out, and then they'll seek the second one out that doesn't have the plastic, and then they'll seek one that is just a pure box after they reissue it again. And
right.
So I think the best way to do it is to change something. Now, I'm a fan of changing the packaging, but I'm not a big fan of changing, like, the accessories or, like, changing the paint apps, because then everybody can have the same figure, more or less, but, like, that first run is still distinguishable. So there's still something for, like, the hardcore collectors to go chase. And it's a way for the people who did get in on the line right away or did get the first wave of figures to retain some of that value.
Kind of, not to interrupt you, like the COG. You got the blue COG with the red accents. I got the red COG with the black accents that just came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he's, like,
yeah.
$7 or $8 more, but he has 10 more guns.
He has what?
He has a ton of accessories that are painted.
Really?
That go to other figures that are coming out.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Like pistols and guns, and if you could pull a picture up.
What other figures do they go to? Man, I'm missing all kinds of news on that.
I that's why I picked it up, because one, I'm like, okay, fine, I could probably find a COG for $20 in the secondary. COG Legacy.
Legacy Red COG.
Yeah, I think it's a Target exclusive. But so yes, the packaging is different. It's the same figure, but he's a different color.
This one?
Yeah. So I don't know if you could pull up like, he has literally a pack of weapons on the bottom of his package. You open it up and this bag falls out. I didn't open them yet, but so, like, you got, see, go to that still screen. Right there. So you got those weird canisters on the side. Then you got the guns that are painted that look like machine guns. And you got that thing in the back that's pink, and you got so many extra accessories that you're going to be able to use for the upcoming figures, and I think that's why they did it. He's not a deluxe, but I think they made him a deluxe because he has the extra stuff.
Well, he is a parts former.
Yes.
So I wonder if maybe that...
See how that gun's painted in the back? None of the guns from Legacy or any of this Transformers line were painted, but now there's painted apps on these. These are special, like, guns. Hmm. So if you want them, you got to fork up to $32 and not to $24 for a regular...
God, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is a little goofy. See how he has that weird stuff on his chest, and he has... like that rifle, and they're cool guns. Don't get me wrong. They're cool guns. But I'm like, you know what, Cog, I need one for my big guy. So I'm like, okay, I'll just get this guy. I don't care. I just need a little man with my big man. But he's a color from what? You said that's a nod. Not that we're getting off topic.
That particular color scheme is kind of a nod to Grand Maximus, which is the... He was
the Japanese.
Yes, he was the Fort Max of the Japanese Robots in Disguise continuity, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Those are the extra. That's your $8 extra right there. Not bad. I mean, I don't know.
I want to say mine came with some of those though.
No, this is a new thing. This is a new thing. Excuse me.
Huh.
So.
Wow, man. I'm missing some stuff.
you got too much school going on and not enough work time where you can just sit down
Brain, I got my brain wrapped around other things that are trying to help me relax a little bit, too.
If we didn't have jobs, we wouldn't have time to look all this shit up.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
No, I'm just saying, because you're busy because you don't work. We work and we're not busy.
But, no, I know what you're saying about the package difference, but... This one, maybe it's a little different than what your point was, Aaron. And they change colors. And Transformers does this all the time. They'll take the same mold and change a color and change a name. But he's actually Cog, as opposed to as the same as the original Cog. And yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
no, it's.
What's your thoughts on another minute or two on this topic? Pre-ordering or made to order? Because I know, and you mentioned it to me off record. One, this fur is so much more to manufacturer than just a regular mold. So I don't think they want these guys sitting on the shelf.
No, right.
So if you're going to pre-order 500,000, then they're going to make 500,000 and then call it quits.
Right.
So
that's gonna be it.
And then, like you said earlier, they're going to be able to gauge manufacturing going forward for this line. If it's Cobra, the Cobra Con.
Yeah, Cobra Con or not Chrome Con. The other one. There's another Con. Camo Con.
Camo Con, not Cobra Con. Yeah. I'm thinking Cobra Kai. Commander. Camo Con.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Con. So when they put him, because he's going to be a creation, and I think they're going to open it. They're going to have their... I'm jumping points. Just like Wundar. They only had like 200,000 pieces.
Right.
It sold out in 2 minutes, and I think this is what's going to happen with Grizzlor. They have some made sitting there, and then after the 9th of September, whatever's there, you're going to get yours within a couple weeks.
Yeah. So on September 9th, there's going to be a limited run.
I hope it's one per person.
And then starting the next day. But see, that's the thing. Like, if you're at Mattel, do you say... Because we kind of talked about this before, about how, I always said, like, I think Emily sucks at Hasbro.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the way the things are marketed is just terrible. Because you're announcing shit that's not coming out for a year.
Yeah.
When you look at McFarlane and he announces shit and all this, like, he announced that Mr. Freeze a month ago, you already fucking got me one.
Right, right.
So, but you were saying maybe it's working because, you know, the verve is there. You know, people are, like, frothing at the mouth for these things. So whatever they're doing might be correct. So it makes me wonder if Mattel was thinking, well, let's just do like two per, because anybody that doesn't get one on day one, they can just order a made to order one and they'll get it 8 months later.
Yeah.
The next day. Or are they going to say, all right,
just buy it anymore.
Day one. I feel like if they do a limit of one per person, they probably will change the packaging or something. They will make some kind of slight alteration so you could easily distinguish between like first run and second run.
Okay.
Making the first runs obviously retain a little more value, which I think is probably the right thing to do in the collecting community. But it would tell me like they want to get more of those into different people's hands out of the gate. But they may just be saying, you know, let's just limit it to like three per and then we'll just sell it out in like 4 minutes. Because if we sell it out in 4 minutes, we'll get even more people buying it tomorrow.
Correct.
So
correct.
I could see it going either way.
No, there's good points on both. Just like me trading away my $1 for a couple of the Masterverse figures. I don't think I'd get two Masterverse figures
for that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'd get the same value today.
Probably not.
Anybody could buy one at the end of next month.
Yeah, anybody who's patient enough. I mean, you're always going to get those people that need to have it right now. But anybody who's patient enough will put the pre-order in and wait for it.
No, absolutely. So. Absolutely. So there's my Oh, and then Mechanek and... what vehicle is he on?
Mechanek and the
Road Rasher.
The Road Thrash.
Road Ripper.
Road Ripper, yeah.
That was secretly... So they're showing this whole, like, Eternia playset, and they never said that he's coming out, but if you look in the playset, he's tucked away in the back.
Right there.
And
I pointed that out to you with the SDCC pictures a couple weeks ago.
You did, and then all of a sudden, Amazon started popping up listings.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you see listings pop up as they're getting them ready and then they'll pull them back?
Yeah.
So someone noticed that on Amazon he was out of stock and he's a two-pack, a vehicle character two-pack.
Okay.
And no one said this is coming out and what's going to happen is they're just going to release it and it's going to be sold out.
And again, that's
I don't think that's
something Mattel has done in the past.
It's so odd that they do this. It's like, hey, here it is and it's gone.
Yep.
Well, now I got to have you guys. We'll look at Amazon same as me every single day so we don't miss this. But I don't know. It's just odd that they would do this, especially
release date.
A line that people are so excited for the last couple years. And this could be for years to come because there's so much that they haven't touched on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shit, dude. They're doing Sunman. I don't even know who Sunman was before.
I'd never heard of him either.
I'm like, who's Sunman? So I had to look him up, and he's part of the, I think, She-Ra line.
No, look into the history of Sunman. The short version of the history of Sunman is there was a kid who was upset that there was not enough black hero action figures in the 80s. So his mom basically went and developed a line of figures, shopped it around, and... I think Mattel finally picked it up and made a very, very short run. It's like the Bronze Bombers for G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay, okay.
So,
it's not even part of
it's
the
He-Man
lore.
It was just
something that they just added in.
Yeah, and I think when they found Mattel, or it may have even still been a knockoff who had access to the dyes for the figures, and they just ended, they were made like He-Man figures back in the 80s, but they were never part of the canon.
Okay.
You know, for as much as I was a G.I. Joe guy, and I was probably more into Transformers back then than I was G.I. Joe or He-Man, I never remembered hearing about Sunman. And if I did, it was probably just such a fleeting thing that I don't remember it. But, yeah, I was like, who the hell is this? Like,
right.
You know, so I did a little bit of research on that. Yeah, it was just basically some kid was a little upset that there wasn't enough black representation for action figures in the 80s. I mean, at the time, I think you could get Mr. T from the A-Team. But a lot of the big lines back then was like Chuck Norris and his Ninja Commandos, Rambo, obviously G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe had black characters in it, but it was like the population of America was like 15 to 18% or, you know, African-American. You'd get maybe one figure in every series of 30 figures that was a black character.
Okay.
So, it was kind of interesting. I mean, like, you know, good honor for getting it started. And I don't know how it kind of came to pass this time around, if Mattel was looking through the archives, like, we got to make more, or if somebody brought it up to him. But now, I did want to touch really quick on the whole, I think, made-to-order thing.
Yeah.
So this isn't anything new for Mattel. They actually just released some kind of a Matchbox set.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot
that
of
was,
Hot Wheels.
It was a Mattel Creations, but it was a made-to-order set.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if, and I actually saw that on Facebook, so I wonder if there was enough, like, fan feedback, we'll call it.
Okay.
That Mattel said, well, why can't we do this with other things?
Feedback? You mean fan bitching?
Mm, yeah.
Fan bitching.
So, but start looking for this. It looks like October 1st is what it said.
The
Mechanek.
The Mechanek October 1st.
Yeah. Release shows release date of October 1st.
Release date, but the pre-order date can be like today. Is it release?
I think in modern times, release date is kind of
the pre-order.
Yeah, like for the first essentially quarter. The release date for Serpentor is still September 30th. That's the date he goes up for pre-order.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's how the market is nowadays.
Okay.
Kind of leads into one of our topics today. Is Walmart even a viable option to shop for toys anymore?
Well, yeah, let's get into that because this kind of goes into why Walmart.
I got a couple news release bits really quick. Alfred as Batman was just announced by McFarlane. Fucking amazing. Look at that little crustache.
Oh, I didn't even notice the crustache. Nice. Is that cloth goods?
The cape is, yeah. Just like the other Batman figure.
Oh, he does have cloth goods.
Yep, it's a Batman figure with an Alfred head.
I dig it.
So that one's pretty cool. And then they got this cool-ass lunchbox set coming out with this awesome artwork.
That is actually really cool.
And it's a four-figure
set. Dude, I like that, man.
It's a four-figure set that comes with... Come on, give me the fucking picture that I wanted. Not that one. I hate Target's website. It sucks so much pee-pee. Give me that. So it's a four-figure set that comes with Batman and Robin, but notice that their eyes are whited out.
So it's a different figure.
It is a different figure. So and they're slightly darker, like bolder colors, too.
Okay.
And then a different color Joker, he's a little darker purple, and then a different Penguin.
Oh. No accessories.
And then it looks like, so they come, you can see like Robin is behind Joker, because you can see the yellow cape and the Penguin will be behind Batman.
I like that.
So, yeah, I got to find that. $60 for this set. And it's
that's not bad. It's $15 a figure plus
a
free
New York Comic Con.
I was gonna say plus you get a metal like display box, lunch box kind of thing.
Four cards. The cards are actually awesome art.
Yeah,
I dig that. I dig that. I don't collect that line, but that might be something that I want to put on the shelf.
I was gonna say that's well done. If I was collecting that line, I'd pick that up.
Good job, McFarlane.
Yeah. So it's cool stuff.
Yeah, he's really knocking it out of the park.
He is.
He's really knocking it out of the park.
He is.
I don't collect them. I'm only looking for like one or two if I could ever find them. If I could find the 70s era.
Is that when he eats thunder and craps lightning?
Yeah, that one. if I could find the if I could find the 70s, early 80s era Batman in the gray and light blue color scheme, that's my Batman.
Okay.
Back when he was a little dark, it's starting to get a little darker.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to look for that because I know McFarlane made that figure. He just goes for big money.
He goes for big money. You can find him at Toy Story. I've seen him.
Yeah,
and
that's the whole reason is because that's a fan favorite era of that particular bat. That one. Not that one. That's the wide-shouldered one. That one right there, I think.
No, it's this one right here.
That one.
He's just a different scheme. I have the dark one. I just want the... light gray.
He's got the super tall ears. That's the only Batman you're going to find. It's got the super tall ears and it's got that and got that outfit like that.
Yep.
No, that's a good looking Batman.
It's got the big logo on the chest. Yeah, this is the McFarlane one that you want.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight I should have bought this a while ago when I saw it in the stores a few
times.
That's
really the only one I'm looking for out of that line.
Now, I do hear that the one he made with, like, the big flowing cape in these colors is actually not worth getting.
No. What's effed up about that figure is it comes with two capes. It comes with that big plastic molded.
Yeah.
So you have to rip his arms off so it could fit underneath so he stands in the graveyard and it flows.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you take that cape off and you put the cloth good capes on, you put the arms on, it just doesn't stand right because his body was put into the mold of the cape probably when he was warm. Or because it's been in the package so long, like his legs are warped and his knees are buckled in a little bit. So it's a good display piece if you don't take it out of the package.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this one.
So the cloth goods is that's the cloth. That's the same figure. Yeah. It's just a cloth good. And the cape is cool.
Actually, that one's got better ears.
That's the one right there with the super tall ears.
Yeah.
And he's got the figure I'm looking for right there.
That is the graveyard set.
That's the graveyard set you want.
So,
but you got to take the you got to warm up his legs, to bend them back, and then pull that hideous flowy cape off and put that cloth goods on.
There might be one at Midwest Collectibles.
No, they used to be. She sold it.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. I was looking at it. And I'm
I'm sure it was probably well out of my price range.
It was like 50 or 60. It was like 40 in the store.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's like a deluxe set. The box is big. The box is like this big.
Yeah, it's a cool, it's a cool
that,
display
that,
box.
That cape like really.
Oh, that's right.
Out.
It's got a stand and stuff in it too.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So what was your, okay, yeah, I see the display base now. I didn't catch that at first, but
and you're supposed to be able to put that display base possibly with the one from Hush because that's another graveyard site with, and you can like pair them up and put other figures.
Wow, that's funny because Hush didn't come along until the late 90s.
Yeah, so this one you pop the arms out, and then I believe the cape.
Like
the cape side
has
pegs, and they lock into his shoulder.
I remember seeing this now, and that's why, that's one of the reasons why I say I want that one. It's because it reminded me of
that's
it's the cover that it's from.
Yeah, real cool cover. But it reminded me of that era when I actually read and collected Batman in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, this is the cell that it's from. So. Yeah, it's a big set.
See how he leans back? It kind of like bent his knees, and it's kind of goofy. They could have done it so much better, but it is what it is.
It was an early McFarlane, though, right?
Oh, this came out earlier this year.
Yeah, early this year?
Maybe late last year, but I think this came out early this year. This hasn't been out for long.
Maybe I saw a different one.
I didn't see too many at the Target stores. I seen them at collectors had them. And
maybe,
then,
that's where I saw it was I saw it was the toy show.
Yeah, but,
and you can buy them
online.
Maybe that's where I saw it, yeah.
So... Yeah, those are my news updates. Oh, the only other thing is, anybody interested in Valiverse, all Sergeant Slaughter goods are on sale a little bit for the next week because of Robert Remus's birthday. So
Robert Remus,
good dude,
Bobby Reamer.
Are you sure he's a good dude? Because if we seen him at a toy show, you'd probably tell him his movie sucked right to his face.
Never seen a movie that he's been in that sucked.
Oh, that's a story for another day. Let me tell you.
We're gonna always say that's a story for another time, and we'll never.
When we
tell
when
the
story. We talk about Captain America. All right, America.
Quick version. We're at the Chicago Toy Show. What, 6 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, and I don't remember his name. What's his name?
Shit. His name is Burke in the fucking movie in Revenge of the Nerds.
Anyway,
Matt Salinger
was at the show signing autographs. And as
why was
a lot
he at the
as,
show signing autographs?
Because he was. Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Because he was in one of the first made-for-TV Captain America movies, which, unless you are a super fan, you will immediately admit that was incredibly bad. And
very rarely do I ever make a comment.
And a lot of people, I'm sure, would actually say that the guy couldn't act his way out of a paper bag. But
I thought he was good in Revenge of the Nerds.
You know, I. But anyway, I'm going to keep that to myself. Anyway, we're walking by, and Aaron just having to be like out loud say. Something about being in the worst movie ever made, and that guy's such a lousy actor.
I was like, that was the worst piece of shit ever made.
Yeah, but he said it right in front of the table where Salinger was sitting, and man, if looks could kill, that dude would have like murdered Aaron and the seven people around him.
Oh my God,
that guy was throwing daggers with his eyes.
I'm still feeling bad about it.
I'm still feeling a little jab from that to this day.
I feel less bad about it now than I did when I said it, but it doesn't change the fact that this is the worst fucking movie ever made.
Oh, dude, it's so bad.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I didn't even notice he was just sitting there. It was just...
Yep.
You turn around and I'm like,
I will
oh,
say
shit.
This. The costume looks good. I mean, they actually got the costume right, but...
You could, but that rubber face mask he was wearing, though.
Yeah,
I mean it was just so the costume was just so poorly done.
Yeah,
to me.
That's awesome. So, what was your other news bit about Walmart?
So it was more of an opinion piece.
I got facts.
We'll let this play in the background.
I got facts.
It was more of an opinion piece that I had a few Walmarts last week and. Every single one of them is empty. Like, and I don't just mean like they don't have what I'm looking for. I mean, I'm saying you go down the toy aisle and literally 85% of the toy aisle is either an empty shelf or nothing on the pegboard. And it just got me thinking that, you know, is this even a viable place to even go and shop anymore? Then to make matters worse, a few weeks ago, I sent you guys some screenshots of, I actually found a couple of classifieds, some Storm Shadows and Spirits and Cobra Officers at Walmart. And since they don't have the scanners anymore in the aisles, you just pull up the app on your phone and you hit the barcode thing and you scan it right there. Yeah. And it tells you, oh, I pull it up. It was like $40. So I noticed that there was a couple other things that I had scanned later on, like, you know, a few days later. It was like, I knew it was like $14, but it was coming up $17.82, $19.41.
That's their online price, yeah.
So it's not their online price. When you scan an object in a store at Walmart now, it just brings up the first hit that you get, whether it's Walmart or a third-party seller.
Oh, that's right, because they do third-party sellers
and more often than not, they're all third-party sellers now. What sucks is you cannot go in there and say, you know, oh, buy from another seller and then change it to Walmart.com or anything. Like, there's no option to do that. And like I was telling you, if you walk into any Walmart, you can pull up the app and it knows what store you're in and it will give you a layout, like a map layout of the store. And so if you're looking for a product, like, you know, I might be looking for kerosene. You know, in my store, they're in H13, but in your store, they might be in J42. So being in the store, it knows. But you have the technology to tell me where the shit's at in your store, but you don't have the technology that when I use the scanner, because you took all the scanners out of your stores, to say, like, yes, Walmart's price is this.
Yeah.
It's in stock. We know it's in stock because, well, you're fucking holding it.
Yeah.
So it just, yeah, the whole, like, process is just really utterly ridiculous. The only things I ever see there anymore that have any interest to me would be either Nika stuff, which I was telling Ron, I haven't seen any new Nika stuff since they came out with the Thing figures, like, late last year, the Kurt Russell figures from the Thing. That, and they're usually pretty decently stocked on the best action figures from, who the fuck makes those?
Isn't it not NECA?
No, it's not NECA.
BSTAXN,
like, which I think we determined was for best action.
Yeah. I don't have one down here.
No. I know the name of the toy company, but I can't think of it, off the top of my head.
Oh, it's, Legion... Legion.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the Legionnaires or something. Not that.
You
not
keep looking and I'll look. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it just got me thinking, like, is Walmart even a viable option to shop at anymore?
I check mine maybe once every couple of weeks. The one in Shorewood is a lot better to shop at, even though the toy aisle is usually, it usually looks like a good combination of a tornado, thunderstorm, typhoon came through there.
Well, it's
loyal subjects.
That's what it is, the loyal subjects. To me, it looks like they're always going through a reset. Like when you see a store go through a reset, like they kind of clear things out, they change the aisles around, and then everything usually fills up right after that.
Yeah.
But I remember Walmart went through a really big reset, I think, at the end of May.
Uh-huh.
And the shelves look just as empty as they did in
March. Well, they just went through
March
it's like a positional reset, though. I mean, it changed a bunch of aisles around in mine.
Yeah.
And they added a couple of things and took a couple of things out.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, the stock was never rebuilt after
that. So here's what I found out. After you talked to me, I went and dug around a little bit. And so with this, we're in a recession, and we've been in a recession for the last year or so. And
what a recession actually is, or by the new definition of
recession? Well, just in general. I'm not getting into the whole thing.
We're not going there.
That we're in a recession, no one's buying anything.
No.
Product is literally, if it's a fan or if it's a toy or if it's a hardware, nothing's getting moved.
The only things that are disappearing because of the power of the internet are the things that are worth disappearing, that are worth, like, literally pulling off the peg, paying the money for, and then realizing you're going to get double or triple your money back.
Well, no, not even, I mean, not no, even nobody's, money back. I mean, I'm not even talking toys. I'm just talking products, just general goods and
Oh, okay.
Stores like Walmart are focusing on keeping their food aisles full versus
not even that. This is why we're not getting products. We're Target, Walmart,
Zare.
Zare is going out of business, I think.
Ames.
Handy Andy.
So that product, how retail works is the product comes in. And they don't get new product until the old product sells.
Right.
If the old product's not selling, go through your Walmarts, go through your Targets. The clearance aisles are freaking insane. Walmart, by my work, I walked around. There's 7 clearance aisles that are packed. The toy aisles are empty because all the toys are in the clearance aisle.
Yeah.
You're not going to get new clearance until, or new product until all that moves out.
Right.
So that's one.
Yeah.
If they're clearancing things because you don't want them, yes, certain toys are going to go off because they're the harder the case to get.
Right.
But there's stuff from hardware. All those aisles are just so jam-packed.
That doesn't make sense to me, though, because if I was running a store, it would make more sense. So if let's just call pile A the home of where the good goes in the store normally, uh-huh. right? So the toy aisle. And then you're moving it to pile B, which is the clearance aisle.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to order more stuff for pile A until the stuff that you've moved to pile B is gone.
Correct.
The problem is this. If it's something that nobody wants, put it on clearance.
Uh-huh.
$20 figure, $6. Yeah, shit, I might buy it now. I need another head for somebody. But now you're making me go to another part of the store to go look for it. Just leave it in pile A and fucking clearance it there. There's a better chance that you're going to sell it than putting it somewhere else that people are unaware that the clearance aisles even exist.
That's true, but there's a system set up in your store, so there's a flow. So it comes in the back door, it goes in the aisle, it goes to clearance, it goes out the front door. So if you keep it in the toy aisle and things are or any aisle, and it, as you sell, and you keep it in the aisle it was intentionally in for, as you're selling, you're going to get more goods in. Now you got to move the clearance out anyway to put the new goods in the aisle that it intentionally goes.
That
to.
Seems like a system thing, though. It doesn't seem like you'd physically have to go move it into a clearance aisle. In the system, you'd have to just mark that it's on clearance and say that you're putting it in the clearance aisle, but just leave it where. It now, normally is, so people can find it.
True. So usually when things flow, it's seamless. So you get a product in, it sells, you have the residual, you move it to clearance because you already have new product to put on that shelf. So the shelves are consistently full of any product.
Right.
But now, to get back to the point, Walmart and Target both have canceled shipments, deliveries. They don't get trucks like they used to.
Right.
Because if they're not selling the clearance, even clearance isn't moving, they don't want product in the store because they are ultimately losing money.
They do stuff like Walgreens now where Walgreens breaks down store cases, per store cases at their DCs and sends it out made to order.
Yeah.
Where Walmart used to say, yeah, send me a case of G.I. Joe's. Now it's just like, all right, we sold 2 G.I. Joe's last week, so sell me 2 G.I. or, you know, send me 2 G.I. Joe's.
True. Yeah, so. That could be it too, but... because now how sales work is if you go to Target and you buy Motu when they were on sale for, was it $8.99?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they regularly, $14.99?
$14 to $17.
So how that works is the manufacturer supplements the money that's missing. So if I'm buying He-Man for $9, Mattel's going to give Target the other $7 or $8 that they're missing because that's a sale.
Right.
They want to bring more product in, then Mattel can move more product. Now, if it goes on clearance, Target loses all that extra money, and they only get what they sell it for. So if they clearance them out for $4, they're not getting the full 17 or at least the 9 that they bought it for.
Right.
So they're losing money. So all of this clearance aisle is money lost.
Right.
And they have nothing to bring in.
Which kind of circles back to the first thing we talked about with the Grizzlor and the whole made-to-order thing is Mattel is trying to figure out how many people are going to buy their product.
Correct.
Because if they continue to overmake product, A, you're spending the money to make the product.
Yeah.
Where you're spending $3 million to make something that you may only need to spend $2.7 million to make.
Correct.
Which over time, it's going to, you know, all that extra money, that $300,000 is going to add up into another wave of figures. So do the math. But they don't want to. So now you're also spending money to make money on stuff that's not going to sell. Now you're also going to have to supplement income to the stores, you know, for putting it on clearance because you overproduced it.
So now what they're doing is you're streamlining their productivity. They're going to make sure they have every dollar accounted for instead of just saying, here's, like you said, here's 2 million figures and whatever sells and whatever doesn't sell. And we already made our money. Well, no, the money that they're not selling those extra 500,000 figures, they could make those 500,000 figures another wave that someone really wants instead of, you know, And again, now going back to the very first sentence I said, because I'm a scalper, right?
Scalper run.
All three of us want our toys or collectibles to have some value.
Yeah.
We don't need to be a millionaire, but if I buy something for $100 or $50 or $10, I want that value somehow to retain. So if they only make 500,000 Grizzlors, there's going to be some value in the future. Maybe not today, but or your Valiverse. Maybe there's going to be some value. You might not be able to sell them for $100, but if you pay 30, you might be able to sell them for $30 to $50.
Yeah,
and that's nice if you have to come across some, you know, cash issues and you have to move things. You're like, all right, because I'm an adult and you have to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You didn't buy a $30 figure. Now you have to dump it for $10 because there's.
Right.
They're sitting on shelves doing nothing, like these He-Mans and Skeletors that come in every pack.
Right.
But that's the mentality for another show and how they decided to produce some. Every He-Man and Skeletor has to be in every case just because that's their line. But I think that's what Walmart and Target, that's how the retail flow is.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I don't think so. I don't think Walmart, Target, UC Ross is all the clearance shit that you get from Walmart and Target anyway.
Right.
I don't think GameStop might be a little more viable because it's more of a niche. It's you go in there for video games, you go in there for a couple collectible toys. That's pretty much what you go in there for.
Yeah.
You're not going in there, you know, mom and dad's not going in there to buy groceries and a hammer.
Why
and
not?
Then you're going to go walk, I don't know.
It's definitely buy hammeries and a grocer.
The biggest problem with GameStop, though, is the niche, though. I mean, everything's more expensive there. So,
yeah.
I mean, you got to really be hardcore collector, I guess, to walk in that place and want to spend shit tons of money to get what only they have, though. I mean, because I mean, really, what do people walk in there for? They don't. I mean,
video games 99%
video games 99% of the time. But I mean,
collectors, you don't buy T-shirts from there.
But collectors walk in there looking for stuff that only GameStop has.
That's true. Yes, they
honestly
might have the exclusive figure.
But the crappy thing about it, though, is. Just because it's an exclusive, I mean, and there's GameStops all over the world.
Yeah.
And just because it's an exclusive.
Honestly, their prices aren't that crazy anymore.
A couple bucks, but, you know, I don't mind spending a couple bucks to get
something.
Well,
I don't know.
Marvel Legends in there are $24.99. They're the same price at Target.
Yeah, yeah. Cause
but they were $24.99 before.
When they were $19.99,
like
yeah.
But they're staying. They're not going up. They're not $29.99 now.
That's true.
See, that really surprises me.
But they're having, I mean, they have their issues, too. They have their financial issues.
Yeah.
That whole stupid pre-order
crap. I remember when they used to be Babbage's.
That's the Babbage's other thing.
Babbage's and EB Games.
That's the only other thing that drives me crazy about some of this pre-order shit. The pre-order craze, man. It's just... The fact that you put up your pre-order, I mean, a lot of places don't charge you until, they don't charge your card until it comes in.
Yeah.
It's ready to ship,
yeah.
Which is cool.
Yes.
But the fact that you have to wait,
months.
I mean, in some cases, almost a year or better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when that whole pre-order system, I think, was developed, we didn't have logistical problems at the ports and all that stuff. And stuff could essentially get here within a few months. And it was, I mean, dude... When you were doing mail order stuff with G.I. Joe because he had enough flag points to order Doc, it's 6 to 8 weeks for delivery from Pawtucket anyways. But, you know.
So yeah, but I mean, and that was 6 to 8 weeks wait mailing that shit in snail mail.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would take a week to get there.
Yeah, but what do you think?
It would take a week probably to process it.
Right. And where do you think the rest of the time came from? Probably getting it from the factory. So,
but it'll
get here in the factory. It'll process a little bit quicker, so you're going to lose a week there. You know, you might gain like 5 days back there. You know, your payment is instantaneous, so it happens right now. Processing might still be a week for somebody to get to the order and box it up, ship it out, put the label on it. But for the most part, do they have it in stock, or are they basically doing these? Maybe that was the old made to order system, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
who knows? But, you know, the ports definitely weren't as screwed up a couple years ago as they are now. And I think the logistics of the country being as shitty as they are right now plays more into the whole, like, year and a half wait. I mean.
Well, I also think it's got a lot to do with the fact that they don't want a ton of shit hanging on the pegs. They would just rather have.
Right. And I think that's
exactly. You know, an order made for the amount that's going to go out and maybe an extra. Maybe 15 or 20%.
See, and that's it. I see
because I mean they can eat a 30% loss and still make a profit.
I think that's where the difference from retailers and distributors comes from. Because BBTS is a distributor, right? Dorkside's a distributor. Target and Walmart, they're retailers. So if a retailer doesn't sell a product or they have to sell it on clearance, then Hasbro has to send them more money to make up for that. But once you sell it to a distributor, you've sold it to the distributor. Sale is final. It's done. You've made your money. It's good. Now the distributor has to figure out what to do with this stock.
Yeah.
You sell it to Big Lots. You sell it to Ross. Something like that. They're going to take the loss on it.
Yeah.
So I think that the toy companies are shifting away from retail, and I think they're shifting into the distributor, you know, market. All of the manufacturers now have their own, like, websites you can purchase on. Like, 3 years ago, you could find maybe four or five things on Hasbro.
Yeah.
Now you go to Hasbro, and they have
the whole line.
Literally every single toy that they've made over the last 5 years on their website for purchase if it isn't sold out.
They're evolving. I get it. And I don't blame them for evolving into what they're doing now. I mean, they got to keep their overhead low, and if they have,
I mean,
20,000,
like every huge corporation, they have investors they have to please.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
I work in manufacturing, and these products I have on my shelf, like, why aren't these moving? And I'm like,
all about. I mean, it comes down to the wire.
Because nobody drives a Fiat anymore.
When it comes down to the wire, it's all about the almighty dollar.
Oh, but, sure, yep. Sure.
I mean,
but Hasbro's been very transparent about that. We don't care about the fans. We just need to make money for our shareholders.
Right,
that's
right.
Pretty much what they said.
But I mean, I think Michael French from Toy Blasting or from Retro Blasting said it perfectly. The fans are doing the best work.
Yeah,
like Bobby Valla.
Yeah,
some of these guys behind some of the smaller toy companies that are just, you know, that kind of just show up at toy shows and online and
go to the little
it's for Star Wars fans. It's Stan Solo. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy for 5POA stuff. He does amazing recreations.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Was it like
3D
prints? Is it like 3D prints?
No, that's actual like mold.
Wow.
Mold made. I mean, hand painted some of the stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Stan Solo does some wicked good stuff. He might have a small manufacturer that does stuff for him, but I don't know. I haven't looked that deep into him, but I've seen his product. And
yeah.
I mean, quite honestly, price is a little high for me because I'm not a 5POA collector, but
yeah,
I mean, for the people that are into it, man, it's probably right on point. Hmm. But because the figures are beautiful, and he does stuff that Kenner never did, and he does it in the Kenner style.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, he does very really cool. good stuff. I mean, I know it's a plug for Stan Solo, but check him out, man. If you're a Star Wars fan, you like 5POA, check him out.
I've seen the good name stuff. Before, so I've never really looked at him in depth.
Yeah.
So Star Wars is just too huge of a universe for me to ever like get into collecting.
Yeah,
like, G.I. Joe seems large, but I know it's a finite. It's a finite thing. Like Star Wars seems almost infinite.
I started collecting them about 3 years ago, and I was like, "No, this is a mistake." Yeah. So I looked at the ground floor, and I was like, "What do I really like from this line?" Because I really, really like this line. What is my favorite thing from this line? And I am a Stormtrooper freak.
Yep.
I love Stormtroopers. Any and all kind of Stormtroopers.
So we have all the Stormtroopers.
The only one that I don't have that I need to get my hands on is a good rendition of a Snowtrooper. But
yeah.
But I mean, I any
Are you looking for
any,
like a black series
any iteration
like...
of a Stormtrooper, if I pick it up and I can afford it, it's mine.
Yeah.
I love Stormtroopers.
Yeah, if I see one I'll see how much it is, but
they still, you know, do different.
You like, are you looking? You're looking like the, your preferred would be like a 6-inch like Black Series Stormtrooper.
Yeah, the 6-inch Black Series in the original like Episode 4, 5, and 6 style.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice. I'll see if I can find one.
Yeah. They have all kinds of, I mean, different paint schemes and stuff. Those two are yours in there, right? The red and the blue one and the red. Or did I bring those over?
No, those are yours. I have all the Bad Batch stuff back here. I have most of the Han Solo stuff down there, the Boba Fett stuff.
Okay, I couldn't remember if I brought those over or not.
The Vader, the Phasma, and the Jango Fett are mine. Everything else is yours.
Okay.
Because we know Bruce Lee likes to kick it with DV.
To kick it with DV.
All right. How much time we got?
About 15.
Yeah, 10.
Right around there.
I should have went like that. Stick them up.
Well, this is our like 7th or 8th show, so you should write the time down so you know. I'm just saying, you know.
Is that how you do it?
Yes.
Or you could just get a fucking clock and put it on the table.
I mean, I look.
No,
right
I look at my clock down here.
Yeah.
So I know we started about 4:15.
So do you have any news, Matt? Before we, I got about a 10-minute topic.
Nothing huge. Starting to see some of this some of the newer legacy stuff on the shelves finally. G-Haxis is out for fans of that particular continuity. from what I understand, people are seeing Wild Rider in the wild on the west and east coast somewhere. Oh. Yeah, I don't know how exactly 100% true it is, but that's kind of some of the scuttlebutt I'm catching, which is weird because it's not supposed to, you know, the pre-orders for Hasbro don't release until January or February.
Yeah, right, right.
And Dead End, I think, is even later than that, which I just want those figures so bad.
Well, Dead End is, they already had them reviewing on YouTube.
Well, yeah, but they're getting them from the,
Hasbro.
They're getting them from the scalpers out of China, so.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm seeing them online for $50-$60.
I'm buying
them.
Yeah.
No way. No fucking way. Well, I'll wait.
Then they got the DNA, the DNA,
oh yeah, for,
I picked that up. I pre-ordered it.
That's the one for Menasor, right? For the actual, like the
it lifts him like 2 inches. It gives him hands. It gives him a big sword.
How much is that one?
Is
that $50?
$50.
Yeah, I might look into that later.
Because if it does it justice to keep it as tall as the Constructicons, so I can store display them right next to each other, and if we could get an updated Bruticus.
Oh, you mean the Predacons?
No, the Constructicons.
Oh, the Constructicons. Okay.
The 18-incher.
Yeah.
Came out a few years ago.
I think he's like, 14 inches now or something like that?
14. If this gives him up to 16 and you could display him like with the perspective.
Yeah.
And then you get a good Bruticus in the next couple years. I mean, the other Bruticus was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't like his feet and his ankles, so, you know.
Yeah. With the Combiner Wars stuff, if they'd have done more justice to the hands and the feet on them,
yeah,
they would have looked a lot better.
Oh, 100%.
A lot better.
100%.
Instead of making people buy a third-party set for it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they did make a set of, you know, different hands and different feet for the ones in the box set.
They did.
Yeah. So, because I got the Generation 2 Superion and, no, not Superion, the one box set that they did do, that came with all the right color schemes and stuff was Computron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that one came with the different scale feet and different hands, so.
Okay. I saw a Metroplex in the wild, like 6 or 7 of them at Target.
Yeah, I saw one the other day myself. I was really surprised.
Kind of cool. I was like, I didn't contemplate it for a quick second. I'm like, no, I don't know this line. I don't know. I don't need the Titans, just like the Ark.
Right.
I mean, he was on sale for BBTS for $130.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I? I'm like, no, he's not really part of the continuity.
I think I'm going to stick with the initials, which is the ones that I have. I mean, I've got like the whole line now except for...
I love my Scorponok.
No, I think I've got them all now, actually, since I got Black Zarek, so...
Yeah. And I love my Scorponok. It's amazing.
Yeah. That, yeah.
I got all the third-party editions.
So you did all the third-party stuff to it?
Makes him like 2 inches taller. He has all the awesome guns, that the cannons that move individually. That's my favorite.
I thought that one was pretty badass. Yeah,
but
my favorite out of the line so far is Omega Supreme. I like the way they did that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Well, yeah. I got a quick discussion. I mean, I don't know. Something that I was contemplating about, and we go to toy shows, we go to toy stores, we go to, you know, not retail, because retail is everything.
We just touched on retail.
We did. Yeah. But me thinking about this little topic for the next few minutes. Now, like the Chicago Toy Show, I mean, it has everything. It has dolls, it has toys, it has old stuff, it has new stuff.
There's something for everybody at that place, man.
Yeah.
Something
more so action figures. I'd say 70%, 60 to 70% are action figures. And when I say modern toys, I'm thinking 80s to today is modern. And that's in that view, because there's so much old stuff. I would say 60 to 70% are action figures. The other 30 are hodgepodge, mix and match. But why? So, but if you go to Bridgeview, if you go in the Midwest, if you go to some of these other toy shows or these little ones in Lockport,
yeah,
you go to tables, you see your Hot Wheels, you see your action figures, you see everything. But where are the girl toys? Where are the Cabbage Patch collectors? Where are the ponies? Where are the the Barbies, the Care Bears, you know, stuff that sisters and cousins that you've seen these floating around your house with other family members. And
yeah,
you know, my wife used to collect Barbies, but there's no secondary market for. You could buy a G.I. Joe for $30 from the 80s, but if you go to get a Barbie.
I could buy one now for $30.
Right. But you go to get Barbie. There's you don't go to a table. And you might have that one table of a doll or a Barbie, but you don't have, like, waves.
Yeah.
Right.
Why do you think
I see
girls' toys?
I see on occasion, like, the pamphlets as you're going through. I mean, they're hard to spot unless you actually look at that table and searching for it.
True, true.
And they actually have in the main building in that one hallway where the restrooms are, they have a billboard up there. At least they used to have a billboard up there that had a whole bunch of stuff tacked to it. And the last couple of years, I haven't noticed that back building in the complex over there housing the actual doll show.
Because they
used to have an antique doll.
Yes.
Yeah. Thing back for years.
There's still people that show up with their metal trucks.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the
Yeah, they got the old Tonkas
toys,
and the old premiums from the 30s and 40s and 20s and stuff.
I can find
more
people taking old dolls and turning them into horror figures than I can a Barbie.
I was just going to say that.
Or a pony.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll find an occasional toy on the table. You'll find a My Little Pony from the 80s sitting there.
Well,
but you won't find somebody who has, this is what I'm selling. This is, there's no girl toys.
I might have a jumping point for your discussion now. Yeah, I'm going to have to preface this by saying I do not intend for this to sound sexist at all.
These are
just observations that I've made, but we need to take a step back into like the 50s and 60s for a second.
Okay.
So in the 50s and 60s, when you were a boy, you're raised in America, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a fireman. They wanted to be like heroes, right? That's how men were essentially raised. And it's kind of how men have been through caveman times. You take care of the family. You go do what you got to do. You hunt. You provide, whatever. You know, for the longest time, our society has looked at the females are the nurturers. They're the caregivers. You know, they raise the next generation of men, right? And, you know, and for when a daughter is born, you raise the next generation of nurturers and caregivers. So, you know, take a look at a lot of the stuff that was popular for girls back in the 50s and 60s. You know, the biggest, you know, because from our point of view, from the male point of view, the action figure was Barbie. Still is Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
But that was created as a model of what women should be, like what men wanted to see in their women. Because let's face it, Barbie was created by a man. Perfect dimensions, 36, 24, 36, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's changed in the years, you know, and good. We've moved a little bit forward. But what were the other toys popular for girls back then? Easy bake ovens. You know, kitchen sets, like play food sets. You know what I'm saying?
So you were
teaching like these, you know, girls back then, I think, had a lot of toys that kind of lent towards the whole caregiving and nurturing. And you were raising girls how to do that stuff. Fast forward to like the 80s and the 90s and even today. The landscape hasn't really changed really for what toys are. What do? We still collect action figures of heroes. Robot heroes that transform into vehicles. I collect military heroes, right? But the idea is still there that it's just still ingrained in our society. Like the men kind of lean towards the heroes.
Forgive my interruption, but I'm going to make a correction. Barbie was invented by Ruth Handler.
Good. But
I'm just saying she was invented by a woman.
No, I'm not saying she was invented by, but I'm saying like who markets it, who does all the design. It's probably led by a team of mostly men. There's a lot of man input into Barbie, I would
say. You ever see Mad Men? Exactly.
Into the advertising,
right,
yeah. I got to put this out there, too. Handler was in on a lot of that.
That's good. No, I'm glad to hear that.
I'm not trying to like, you know, be indifferent or anything. I'm just saying that she had a lot of input into the shape and the size and all of it. I'm just saying that a woman had.
Then even back then, the woman knew what the perfect dimensions were for a man, so or what a man wanted to see. But it still kind of lends into my argument or my thought.
I just don't want anybody screaming at their radio or their phone going, "Hey!"
And honestly, like I don't follow Barbie, so I don't know that off the top of my head. I know how the toy industry works, and I know it's mostly run by men, especially in the 50s, man.
Right. I mean, you're correct in that aspect. I just want to make sure that she got her due.
No. Absolutely. So, but I think that it's never really changed. Nobody's ever really changed the landscape of the toy. you know, now there's a huge divide amongst, you know, the sexes and things like that. And we won't get into all that stuff. But for the most part, the toy landscape hasn't changed. There's still girl toys. There's still boy toys. And neither one of them's really made any progress.
Here's,
you know, on the boy side, it's all still action figures and machismo and tough guy stuff. And
here's something to
go to Target. Still a whole aisle full of Easy Bake Ovens. You've got entire kitchen sets sitting on the aisles, and then you got the whole two Barbie aisles.
Here's the thing to throw out there, though. Wouldn't it be interesting to see Barbie on the other side of the spectrum, where she's hanging on the peg, and she's got a military outfit on. She has this. It's still combable.
They've done
and it's still brushable,
those,
but she's got like
the bun.
She's got like the bun or the, you know, the hair
and
like, cut a little
made
shorter
a few
or whatever.
Of those, but they've been like commemorative pieces for Armed Services Day or something like that.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
But something to think about, or you know, or you know, the baby burps at doll. You know that.
Yeah.
There
you go.
That
yeah.
That drinks beer.
The Joey Stivick, Archie Bunker doll.
Yes.
What does it do, though? But what does
it,
that
it
toy
anatom-
do?
Yeah, we saw this at the
That toy teaches, whether it's a boy or a girl, that toy teaches you how to take care of a baby.
Baby.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
It's a nurturing.
Yeah.
It teaches you how to be a caregiver.
It was an anatomically correct doll that urinated.
Yes.
I think you fed it, but it also, but it urinated like a pea color.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I had like a little stone in there with like a little bit of yellow dye, and when the water passed through, it came out yellow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really look too hard into it, but we saw the top. We almost bought that as a centerpiece for this for the display.
We'll have to see if it's there next time. If it's there next time, it's a sign.
Yep, it's a sign, and then we all chip in our $25, put it right on the table.
It was 75.
Three of us.
Yeah, it was 75.
It'd be like
$33
bucks.
We probably could have
75 into three is 25.
I don't math on Saturday.
we had the ultimate negotiator across the table.
Yeah, so
I would have had him driven it to the house.
Yes.
We're going to pay you $12 and you're going to drive it. Even
look,
you're
gonna there's a gas
us.
Station a mile down the road, but I'm not going there. You bring it.
What?
And you bring it downstairs.
What? You live in Kenosha? Joliet's on the way.
Yeah. It's on the way.
Bring it by.
But yeah, I mean, I don't want that to sound sexist. That's not necessarily how I view the world, but it's an observation, I think, in the toy landscape that has never changed even from the 50s or 60s.
I agree.
And you can, I mean,
well, how come
the
they're not
hurts,
collectible?
But go.
How come those aren't collectible toys?
Because
well, see,
I don't
that's
think
the, that's
because
the thing,
men are
though.
More hoarders than women.
Well, that's the thing, though, because they are collectible. You know what the biggest collectibles are? And I mean, if you saw, like a, I mean, and there are the toy shows out there. We don't see them because of the way, you know, larger toy shows are. I mean, they're all, let's face it, full of action figures. They have their doll sections and stuff, but a lot of what you're going to see there is the porcelain stuff. But
yeah.
Like the biggest money makers to a lot of people who still have a lot of them or can still maintain a collection of them are those Cabbage Patch dolls.
See, yeah. I haven't seen those.
Well,
I remember when those hit the store and my sister wanted one. I remember the horror stories that mom and dad told me.
So
they're like, you know, we had to fight some people for these.
I do want to make a comment, too, before I forget about it, because I think it's a valid point, is kind of going back to the societal thing. Men have always been the ones that, you know, you're going to, like, again, put your brain back in the 50s if you can. You know, moms didn't work. Girls didn't really have to look forward to working. They had to look forward to being stay-at-home moms, right?
A lot of that didn't start changing
and the
until
men,
the 60s.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, so kind of throughout our history of America, like, the men have always kind of, like, progressed. You grow up into men, you get your job. And so we've always had time for our collections. Maybe you smoke cigars. Maybe you collect coins or you paint little models. You know, men have always had their hobbies. I think what changed, at least on the women's side, and I don't know if it necessarily plays into why these things aren't as collectible or maybe not as easily found, but women's lives have changed drastically in the fact that they are now kind of on the same track as men, where, you know, they grow up and they get a job.
Yeah.
You know, and they work too. So they're not necessarily stay-at-home moms anymore. So maybe as a whole, just kind of generally, you know, women who may have continued to collect things, like, continue to have major doll collections that they might pass on to their granddaughter or daughter. They don't really have time for that anymore. I mean, I've had a lot of discussions with like other women, like men really think linearly where, you know, like put us in a track and you know, we can have multiple tracks open at once, but for the most part, our tracks are straight. We're like Matchbox cars. And I was talking to one lady a long time ago when I worked at Caterpillar, and she told me about this book. It's like basically how men think like uncooked spaghetti noodles, but women think like cooked spaghetti, where the noodles are all just intertwined, and I don't know how the fuck they do it. It always works, but they've always got so much shit going on and in multiple directions that I think as a society, when it changed and they started working more, they just don't have time for collections and stuff right. like that. And men don't collect that stuff.
But
so
no, well, I appreciate your thoughts, guys. Until next week.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to roll out. No, thanks for joining us this week, guys. Thanks for listening. The next couple weeks, look out for a Facebook page. Look out for some social media that we're going to set up so we can just continue these discussions later throughout the week until the next show. So,
and within the next couple of weeks, I'm hopefully going to get our first video up.
Sweet.
So.
Sweet.
All right, folks. Have a great one.
You too.
Autobots, roll out.